Once again, I just want to kind of shift us into this subject of walking in the Spirit. It's kind of what it's all about, isn't it?
Oh, yeah.
But not walking as a bound person, but as a free person. And our nature, our nation, our culture, especially if you were in the 60s and the 70s, remember that was a pursuit of, you know, peace, love, and joy, you know, and freedom was the word. I'm free. And the method of the world's freedom always leads to bondage. But whomsoever the Son sets free is free indeed. And he always serves the best, doesn't he? He serves the best. When Jesus turned the water into wine, they marveled and they said, most people in the beginning bring out the best, and then later they bring in the inferior wine, but you saved the best for last. And when Jesus turned that water into wine, it was the best. So what he serves is the best. And the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink in a natural sense, right? But it's righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that is the message that we are living. That is the message that we need to live out of, because it's not about performing. It's about receiving. There's a difference. And so tonight, I was going to kind of continue on from this morning, but we'll just see how things go, okay? And Holy Father, we pray in Jesus' name for your direction tonight, Lord. We thank you already for what you're doing, what you've done already, even, Lord, in the secret places of the heart. Lord, you are changing us, transforming us from glory to glory into your glorious image, Lord God. Moving us, Lord, out of what was into what is. We are pilgrim people, Lord. We're marching to Zion. We're keeping our eyes on the prize. We're looking at you, Lord Jesus. And for the joy set before you, and you endured the cross, Lord, despising its shame, and is sat down at the right hand of the Father. Father, we also, Lord, with joy and anticipation and expectation, are believing, Lord God, that what is up ahead is so much better than what we're in right now. And so, Lord God, we will not get bogged down. We will not worry. We will not fret. We will not fear, Lord God, of whatever is happening right now, because we know that you are greater than anything else that's going on around us right now. Father, we believe your word that says that you have us in the palm of your hand. And no one is able to snatch us out. Lord, we believe we are in the palm of your hand tonight. And it's out of that place of rest, Lord, that we will just move. Oh, Lord, we just pray for guidance and wisdom, direction. Open the word to us tonight and sow it into our hearts, Lord, with an understanding that we might be changed, that we might be more like you, Jesus. Amen. Now, one of the things the devil tries to do is to get us out of step with God. There is a pace that God has for your life. There are visitations, and there are times of refreshing, and there's times when you have God encounters, right? And that is the timing of the Lord. You know you're in the time of the Lord. Especially when you had nothing to do with the planning of the thing. It just kind of happened. You're driving your truck, you know, God drops a thought in you. You need to pray for somebody. Or you see somebody in the store, you know. Maybe somebody you know, maybe somebody you don't know. God prompts you to go and talk to that person. There's just different ways that we have encounters along the way. We just have to keep our eyes and our ears open. And say, Lord, here I am, use me. And Lord, keep me in this place of rest. Keep me in your peace. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Don't operate out of stress. Don't operate out of fear. Amen? Because when you get into a place of anxiety or fear or worry, you start to blow it. You start to make rational decisions, or irrational decisions, should I say. You start to get hasty. And we can very easily get out of step with God's timing in our lives. God has a plan. He has a purpose. But we have to cooperate with Him and walk with Him. When you are yoked together with Jesus, amen, He is the one who's leading. And if we try to go ahead of Him, well, we're going to burn out.
That's right.
And you can't just hang out behind her. You're just going to get dragged. Amen. Anyways, but you're going to miss it. You need to just know the rhythm of God's pace for your life. God has a time and a season for everything and every purpose under heaven. So for your life, God has something for you. He has a time for you. Now, sometimes when the enemy tempts us to get out of step with the Spirit, it will be a good thing. As a matter of fact, most temptations appear to be good things. Temptation usually appears to be good. Temptation usually feels good even. You know, temptation could be something that will work on our pride, you know, the pride of life. You know, if you do this, you'll be this. We don't have to try to be anybody, folks. Why? Because we are already new creations in Christ Jesus. Amen. All we need to know is understand our identity already. Who we are already. Right now, who we are. What we're doing is we're coming to a realization, a recognition of who we are in Christ. It's not who we're trying to be like. It's who we're being transformed into. Okay? God changes. God transforms. God doesn't patch us up. Yeah. So we need a revelation of our identity in Christ. And so we can then operate from that new identity. If we don't know the new identity, then we'll continue to live out of the old. So sometimes the enemy will come up with an idea. He'll whisper and says, why don't you do this? Because things are not happening quick enough. So you better make something happen, because if you don't, you're going to miss it. And God is faithful. If God promises you something, you just need to wait on Him for that to come to pass. And don't be in a hurry. Because He's not. When we get anxious, we start making mistakes. When we start to worry, we start making mistakes. When we get fearful, we start trying to compensate. Amen? And we try to make things happen, because if I don't make this happen, I'm not sure that it will. But if it's a promise from God, if God says, I will never leave you nor forsake you, amen? We believe what He says. If God gives you a promise of provision, then you need to be careful that you don't come up with your own way of going about it. You need to operate out of rest, okay? Pray, ask God to give you wisdom, to give you direction, to give you an instruction. But if you don't get an instruction, don't move until you get an instruction.
Yeah, amen.
Don't try to make it happen. And we're going to talk a little bit about Abraham. Bridget's on it already. And let's begin with just going to Romans chapter 3. And then we're going to move to Hebrews chapter 6. Romans chapter 3, verse 23. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, being justified freely by His grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God set forth as a propitiation or mercy seat by His blood through faith to demonstrate His righteousness, not ours, because in His forbearance God had passed over the sins that were previously committed, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness. In Revelation, it says that Jesus was the Lamb of God slain from the foundation of the world. God lives outside of eternity and outside of time. Amen? And so that work of grace had already been accomplished before it actually happened in the physical. Why? Because we only understand time. God lives outside of time. He's eternal. Having no beginning, no end, He's eternal. We have a beginning, we have an end. He's infinite, we're finite, right? And so God, to demonstrate His righteousness, it says in verse 25 that He passed over the sins that were previously committed. The Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short, that all were dead. And because Christ died for all, then all were dead. That all were dead in trespasses and sins. What needs to happen is a resurrection. We need to be raised to new life. Apart from Christ, all are dead. When Christ comes, life comes. You're raised up together with Him. Amen? We're born again. Out of darkness into light. Out of death into life. We're born of His Spirit. Once we were dead in trespasses and sins, now we're made alive in Christ. Amen? Unto God. So it's out of that new identity, out of that new place, that we are to function. We are no longer to think, speak, or do dead things. We are to live in life. We are to operate out of life. And so, verse 27 says, where is boasting? It is excluded. By what law? Of works? No. But by the law of faith. You know, we've all heard this before, but there's no scale in heaven that says, if you've done enough good, you go to heaven. If you did enough bad, you go to hell. That's natural man's reasoning. The problem is not a matter of right and wrong, but it's a matter of sin and death. You see, when we had sinned, we fell into death. Death came upon all through the fall of Adam. The tree of life was there. It was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil that was the forbidden fruit. And so, once they disobeyed God, man was severed, a man in his relationship to God, and he became spiritually dead. We have a soul, we have soul life, but spiritually you're dead. Until Christ comes and resurrects your spirit. He gives you, a brand new beginning. And so, he's saying, where's the boasting about my performance or how spiritual or how good or how righteous I am? Because religion teaches that you have to obey a set of rules. I want you to hear this. In order to be righteous with God. God gave rules, did He not? So that we wouldn't kill each other. But the rules were not intended to save us. The rules could not save us. The rules simply revealed to us that we have sinned. And then we become aware of sinfulness and that we have fallen short of the glory of God. So God sent Jesus, His Son, to deal with the sin problem by becoming sin for us. That we might become the righteousness of God in Christ. So there's no boasting about how good I am because my goodness is not enough. It's never enough. My righteousness is never enough. My righteousness comes from the Lord. Your goodness comes from the Lord. It is a fruit of His Spirit. The Father looks for the fruit of His Spirit. Therefore, in verse 28, we conclude that a man is justified. Justified, another way to say it, is just as if it never happened. That's it. Apart from the deeds of the law. And so, in Hebrews chapter 6, if you'd turn over there, in verse 11, it says, we desire, chapter 6 of Hebrews, verse 11, that each one of you show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end, that you do not become sluggish or lazy, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. For when God made a promise to Abraham, verse 13, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself. How is that possible? How many realize that God the Son and God the Father came into agreement? All the agreements that we had made, all the bargains, all the deals we made with God. God, if you get me out of this. They were short-lived, and all of us have blown it. We've all been promise breakers except for one. Jesus Christ, amen?
That's right.
He was faithful to keep all of the law, to fulfill its requirements. And then he took it out of the way, and it's been nailed to his cross. We are justified not because we performed well, but because God says you're righteous. What you need to realize tonight is that you are, in the sight of God, in Christ Jesus, righteous. If you don't believe that you're righteous, then you will try to perform your way into a place of righteousness, but it's not of works, lest anyone should boast.
That's right.
It's a matter of faith of the heart that I believe what God says. I don't even believe my own heart. I don't allow my own heart to dictate, am I saved or not? I believe what God says. I trust what God says. And when I trust what God says, the good feelings follow.
Amen.
The peace of the Lord follows faith in what He says. So God and the Son Jesus, they made this agreement, this covenant in His blood that cannot be broken. It cannot be broken.
Amen.
The sin problem has been taken care of. God has already taken care of it. What people need to realize is that God has already taken care of their sin. And if they would repent, that means to turn to Him and confess their sins and forsake them, there's mercy at the cross.
Yes.
God has already taken care of the sin problem. If people like you and I, who at one time were lost in sin and in darkness, alienated from the life of God, if people who are in the world can understand that what Jesus has done was for them, that God loves them that much, He died for them, it doesn't matter how rotten of a sinner they are, God loves them and is not willing that anyone should perish, but they would come to repentance, they would turn back to Him, because He says, come to Me. All you who labor and are heavy laden, all you who are working and under the load of performance and trying to earn enough credit to for God to approve of you, when He says, I've already taken care of the sin problem. The blood is already there on the mercy seat in the presence of the Father that cries out, mercy. Now you and I can come boldly to the throne of grace because of the blood of Christ. He didn't say because you're such a good person, because of the blood of Christ, you can come for what reason? So you may obtain mercy and find grace to help you. Why do we need the throne? Why do we need to come to Jesus? Because we can't do it without Him.
That's right.
And when we come to Jesus and we begin to look into the face of Jesus, we begin to see our identity. We begin to see who we really are. That I am a child of God.
Amen.
That my sin problem's already been dealt with. That God has accepted me. And if you don't believe that God has accepted you, you cannot have confidence in prayer. And if you don't have confidence in approaching the throne, then what you pray will have no avail. Because the only thing that God accepts now is that we believe what He said.
Amen.
That we trust Him, that we have faith in His Word.
Amen.
God is not a man that He should lie. Do we believe the Word of God? As soon as you put yourself back in the place of self-savior, you come back under fear and condemnation and guilt and shame. That's why many, they don't have victory in their life because they're living under the bondage of guilt and shame. Because the devil will come and say, you haven't done enough. You haven't worked hard enough. You haven't performed well enough. You got to try a little harder. Try a little harder. And you're trying and you're trying and you keep falling miserably short of what you know God says is His perfect standard. Are you with me tonight? So we are coming to a realization that God has already accepted me. That I am His child. That I have been bought with the precious blood of Christ. That I am a citizen of heaven. Amen. That I am a child of God, son of God, a joint heir to the throne. When you know who you are and you live out of that identity, you have life and peace. When we shift out of that identity and go back to the old man and try to pick it up again and try to work it out again, then we come back under guilt and shame and condemnation. Are you with me tonight?
Yes.
So we've got to operate from that new man, that new identity in Christ. Because there's an eternal covenant in the blood of Jesus. God the Father and God the Son, they swore, amen? They came to agreement. I'll take their place. I'll pay the price for them. The price that we could never pay. No amount of good works could cover the sin. Only the blood of Jesus. What can wash away my sin? And it says in verse 15, and so after Abraham had patiently endured, he obtained the promise. Now, Galatians chapter 4, if you move back to your left there, a couple books, verse 22 speaks of two covenants. For it is written that Abraham had two sons, verse 22, chapter 4 of Galatians. The one by a bondwoman and the other by a free woman. Verse 23, but he, Ishmael, who was of the bondwoman, was born according to the flesh. Two sons, two covenants. And he, Isaac, speaking of Isaac now, the other son, of the free woman by promise. So one, born according to the flesh, and the other one was received. Do you see it?
Yes.
One was by the will of the flesh, and the other one was given freely because the promise had been made. Which things are symbolic? For these are the two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar, that means of the flesh. Verse 28, now we, brethren, in the church of Jesus Christ, as Isaac was, are children of promise. This was not something we did, this is something God did. You see the difference? Do you remember what happened, right? Abraham got impatient and waiting for the promise of God to come into fruition. Anytime we get impatient and we try to make the will of God happen, it is the flesh.
Yes.
And the flesh always messes us up. It gets us out of God's time. And the enemy is good at trying to distract us. You better not wait. Remember when King Saul had inquired of the Lord whether he should come up against the armies that were going to attack him? And he didn't get a revelation. He didn't get a word right away. He began to get anxious. He began to get impatient. He began to worry. And he had to make something happen. He had to get a word. He had to get a revelation because it was imminent. He had to have some information. So he got to the point where he was willing to compromise just to get a word. And he went to the witch of Endor, remember the story? And it cost him everything. Because he acted in the flesh. He did not wait on the Lord. Sometimes we will be tested. Sometimes it will be the midnight hour. But folks, if it's the midnight hour, it's the best hour.
Amen.
It's the right hour.
That's right.
There is a way that seems right unto a man, but in the end thereof is the way of death. Amen. We need to listen to the Lord only. We don't want to go to any other source except Him. In Genesis 17:4, God had given Abraham a promise that he would be the father of many nations. And again, Abraham got impatient, and so he tried to make it happen himself. And he got Hagar pregnant, amen? And that was what happened. As a matter of fact, those two brothers are still going at it today. And it's what's going on in the Middle East. The sons of Ishmael and the sons of Isaac.
Right.
And it says that he... or who is of the bond woman always persecutes he who is of the free woman. Religion will always persecute people who are walking in liberty and freedom in Christ. There are churches that are legalistic, that are in this performance law mentality, that they may live a life by all appearances that is holy and pure. And they don't go to movies and they don't do this and they don't do that. They don't touch this, they don't touch that. And they most time it's like, don't touch me because I'm holier than thou. But there's no love, there's no real substance to that. As a matter of fact, sometimes it's a really nasty, ugly spirit that's working there. How many know that behind the Pharisees, who were the religious people of Jesus' day, Satan was working? Jesus said, you're of your father, the devil. That's an evil spirit of religion that destroys people, that robs them, that controls them, that manipulates people. And so we are to walk in the liberty wherewith Christ has set us free. I'm not bound by the law. I'm free. I've been brought into a relationship with Jesus. I've been born of His Spirit. His law is written on my heart. Because I have this relationship, I know when I'm stepping out of line. Do you?
Yeah.
How many know when you blow it?
Yeah.
And God put His Spirit in you. And He made you a citizen of heaven. But when you don't know who you are and you don't know your identity, then you can end up living out of the old identity, which leads to bondage and a loss of your joy, a loss of your peace, and really a loss of true righteousness. Because the kingdom of heaven is not meat and drink. It's not of human origin, but it's righteousness. Being in right standing with God produces peace. And peace, the result of peace is joy. And that only comes as a gift from God. It's something that you receive and you don't earn. When you try to work for those things, it's like being an employee working for wages. God has already opened the heavens, folks. Now we can come confidently to His throne in faith to receive what we need from our Father, Papa God. He's allowed us to come. He's placed the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. Our new identity is a child of God, a Christian is a follower of Christ. Amen?
Amen.
A follower of Jesus.
Yeah, that's right.
And so whenever we try to make the will of God happen, it's the flesh. Anytime you try to make happen what God says is going to happen, you are operating in the flesh. Anytime you try to make happen what God says is going to happen, you're operating in the flesh. Wayne, that word tonight from the Lord is confirming.
Amen.
We don't have to call Him down from heaven. He's with us.
Amen.
There is a thing called calling on the name of the Lord. But what we need to do is we need to activate our faith. We need to trust what God said in His Word, that the sin problem in your life has been dealt with. Why? Because when you come to Christ, you pass from death unto life.
Yes.
Once you step into life, you need to operate out of life and not out of death any longer. The enemy's constantly trying to get you to shift back into death and put yourself back on the throne and try to perform well enough for God and get you all mixed up. You can't mix grace and law.
Right.
Either you're going to walk free or you're going to walk bound. And any amount of bondage, I want you to hear this, is going to take away from your freedom. Any amount of legalism will take away from your freedom. Why is it that Sarah said, get rid of the woman. Get Hagar out of here. Cast her out. Why? Because there's no compatibility. The old and the new. The new has come, the old has passed away. So you've got to kick out Hagar. You've got to kick out the old nature, the old way. The way of performance, and receive the mercy, receive the grace of God that's freely given to us.
Thank you, Lord.
I believe what God says.
Amen.
I have life and peace. If I believe what I think, I come back right under that heaviness, that guilt, that shame, that I'm not good enough. I haven't, and the enemy always operates through the old nature. You haven't done enough. How many have heard that voice before? You're not doing enough for God. God didn't call us, folks, as slaves. I want you to hear this. As employees, even. But He has called us as sons and daughters.
That's right.
And as sons and daughters in the household of God, we have tasks to do. We've been given chores. But the chores that God gives always have great reward. When we obey Him and we do what He says, Papa says, oh, I got something great for you. I got something good for you. You may not see it all later, but I've got a little piggy bank in heaven. In fact, it's not even a little piggy bank. It's beyond this world, anything we can imagine.
Yes,
Peter tells us it's reserved in the heavens for you.
Yes.
So now the work that you do out of faith. Amen.
Yeah.
You do unto God as out of gratitude. And because you're a son, you want to cooperate with your father and do your father's will. And the day will come when you'll get to sit down at his table. Right now, we are, amen, the one with the towel on. And we are servants. We're serving the Lord. But not as a means of justification. But we serve the Lord because we are justified. And we have our fruit unto eternal life. Oh, hallelujah. But whenever we try to force something to happen or do something, folks, I want you to hear this, outside of what Papa has asked you to do, that's wood, hay, and stubble. That's not going to last. But when we listen to his voice and we do what he's telling you to do when he tells you to do it, in the season that he tells you to do it in, then that is what will endure. Amen? You know, trusting in God is not always getting what we want and when we want it. If you really believe your Father loves you and your Father has good in store for you, then you just rest in Him. You trust Him. You don't have to have all the answers. How many know that when you were growing up in your household, Mom and Dad had some things they didn't tell you? They didn't answer all your questions. There were certain things you asked about and they just said, no, maybe one of these days we'll tell you. Maybe they never did answer that question. But if you had good parents, you knew that they could be trusted and that they knew what was best for you. How many know our Father's a good Father?
Amen.
He can be trusted. Even if we don't get what we want, He can be trusted. Trusting God is not always getting what you want when you want it. But it's resting in assurance that Jesus is the Lord of my life. And that you're seated together with Him in heavenly places. That you're in the palm of His hand. And that He's going to make all things beautiful in your life in His time. And He has given you an unction of the Holy One. That is called the anointing. It's an inward discerner. There's a discerner there. Amen? And we need to pay attention to His promptings. We need to pay attention to the times when you get that tweak that something is not right. Don't ignore that. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. Hallelujah. Do you know Isaac means son of laughter? So, Isaac, how many know that when you laugh and you freely laugh, it's because you're at ease? You laugh out of rest or out of nerves sometimes. But true laughter is out of a place of contentment and rest and peace, isn't it? Isaac, you see, was the free son. Children laugh hundreds and hundreds of times every day. When we become adults, we may laugh a dozen times. Jesus says, unless you become as children, you're going to miss it. We can learn. He placed the child down. He said, learn from the child. They are enjoying life. You even look to these war-torn areas and these famine areas. Even in those places, in most cases, those children are out running around and playing,
yeah,
while the parents are just fretting and worrying and stressed out. And there's a place of rest in God where there is joy that is not determined by circumstances, but by the indwelling presence of the Lord. Therefore, with joy you shall draw water out of the well of Christ, Yeshua. Amen? Salvation. You have access to Him. You don't have to run here. You don't have to run there. Looking for Jesus. Looking for experiences. Because the kingdom is within you.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
Is Christ in you? Yes. Everything you need is in Christ.
Yes.
And what God wants to do is release that treasure He wants to release that river out of you so that you will begin to refresh others, minister to others. When we come together, we release that river, amen, corporately, and we have what's called revival. We're in revival because you're revived. And if you're not feeling like you're revived, you know, you just come out and hang out with people who are, and you just get the splash over, you get refreshed. But how many would agree if we all take the mentality, I'm just going to live off somebody else's revival, that very quickly the church is going to dry up and die. So as an individual, we need to stay fresh. We need to stay in the river, amen? We need to keep drawn from Yeshua. We sing and make melody in our hearts to the Lord. We worship the Lord. We declare His truth. Amen. Declare His righteousness. We operate out of a place of rest. And rest, folks, is when you and I are in right standing with God. When we realize what Jesus has done for us and we accept what God has done for us, and we receive what God has done for us and say, I receive righteousness. I receive God's pardon. I receive God's forgiveness. I receive the fact that He has accepted me. I receive the fact that He says that He is my Father. I receive what God says, and then I have peace. And out of peace comes joy. Oh. And so Isaac, son of laughter, had joy because he was of the free and not of the bound. And whenever we shift away from that, and we got to be careful we don't, and we get back into performance. I tried for several years when I was a young man to get my life straight. I'm going to finish with this. I made attempts to go to Bible study, you know, to go with those Christian people, you know, and to get it right. But I kept falling on my face. I kept falling miserably. I was constantly failing in what I was attempting to do. Whenever we attempt to do for God what is actually impossible for us to do, and that is be holy, then sin magnifies itself in our life and we come under condemnation and guilt and shame. Has anybody beside himself ever experienced that? But when we come to a place where we simply accept what God said and put trust and faith in the word of the Lord, then you enter into rest and you cease from your own works. And you simply operate out of a place of righteousness in the Lord. I'm not righteous because I was good today. I'm righteous because God has made me righteous. And when I realize and I believe that God has made me righteous, then I have peace. And if you will, I stop striving. A legalist will put you in bondage where you're constantly striving and working and performing, and then you come into a church where people are legalistic and you can't even open up and be honest about yourself because you're going to be judged by the lady with the bun. Isn't that special? Ain't that special? Those folks need to be set free.
Yeah.
Those folks are under the bondage. And listen, Sarah was being jeered by Hagar because she had the children, you know. And Sarah, finally, she had a son. And when the promise came, what did Sarah do? She said, cast out the bondwoman. Get her out of here. We're not compatible. Are you with me? You can't be compatible. You can't live in law and live in grace. It's not compatible. Make up your mind. And The bond always persecutes the free. Are you with me?
Yes.
You'll be persecuted because you say, oh, you're not doing enough. When you're free, you want to serve. For the right reason. A free person will be delighted to serve the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah. We can just get people to understand their identity. It's God who works in us, both to will and to do. Not man controlling, manipulating, and using fear and control tactics to get you what they want to do. But God works in us. He puts in us a desire to please, a desire to serve the Father. Why? Because you want to please those who you love. Otherwise, it's just cold, regimented, you know, service. Oh, bless God, I got to do this. If I don't, who else is going to do this? Am I the only one that ever does anything around here? How come they didn't pick that up off the floor? Whatever we do unto the Lord. Whether you're working, driving truck, or whatever you do it unto the Lord. And you operate out of the place of assurance that my life is in His hands. I'm going to dwell on, think on, declare those things that God has said about me until it is my reality, until it truly is truth to me. And when I come to know the truth, I'm free. Oh! I am free. So when the devil tells you you're not doing enough, just cast out the bondwoman. Amen. Just say, out of here. And when God gives you a promise, wait for the promise. Don't get anxious. Don't worry. Don't get impatient. Wait on the Lord. In His time, it will come. If you try to force something to happen that God says will happen, it's the flesh. Whenever you try to force something to happen, that even might be the will of God, hello, you're not going to be the one to make it happen. We simply receive. We are receivers. We can't give God glory or honor or blessing or praise unless we first get that. Amen. We can't give God anything unless we first receive it. Amen. We're receivers. And if we have received anything from God, then we can give back to God. Amen? Amen. So you're not working for wages. You're freely receiving of the gift of grace. You're drinking of the water of life freely, without cost, right? Oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Sometimes folks will think maybe that you're not doing the right thing because you're not doing it the way that they think you should. Because you're not living the way they think you should live. I'm not talking about sin. I'm just talking about performing.
Yes, that's right.
And they'll try to put you in their box and they'll try to make you feel guilty so that you'll do what they think you should do. How many know you need to be your own person? You need to stand up and say, I'm my own person here. Thank you very much. You don't own me. I'm property of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
So when you walk in freedom and liberty, like these two here, I see so much, they're free. They're free in the right way.
Anybody that can wear tie-dye, right?
But a legalist will look and say, why are you dressing like that? How can you have your hair in a ponytail? You know? In other words, they judge according to the flesh. The Bible says, let no man judge you any longer according to the flesh. It's not about dress. It's about the heart. God looks at the heart. Some of the most beautiful people, you know, and I'm not talking about you guys now. Jesus and I worked in a nursing home. And at one time, many of those people were beautiful, but how many know the laws of gravity? They start to mess you up. And
amen, brother.
Yeah. I looked in the mirror the other day, and I'm thinking, man, my face is starting to sag here. I was thinking about calling Nip and Tuck and having some work done. No, I'm kidding. But you're not going to avoid that. It's going to happen. But some of the most beautiful people, you know, are some elderly people that we had the privilege of spending time with and living with.
Yeah.
But their heart was just pure gold. I mean, they were just beautiful people.
Amen.
Because they were beautiful in Christ.
That's right.
And that's what the world needs to see.
That's right.
They need to see a heart that is free, that is flowing in the grace and the mercy of God, that is walking free from guilt and shame, that knows that it's in right standing with God and therefore has peace. And where there is peace, there will even be joy. And we can be like Isaac, sons of laughter. We can enjoy life. Jesus wants you to enjoy life. And it's not going to be determined by your circumstances. It's determined by that reservoir of life that's within you that you can tap into. Hallelujah. Call upon the Lord. Has this been hopefully helpful? Has this freed anybody or just maybe encouraged you tonight? There's a song we used to sing. It was called, I'm a New Creation. I'm a brand new man. Old things have passed away. I've been born again. More than a conqueror, that's who I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. You know what? That's a good song to sing all day long. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ has set me free from the law of sin and death. Cast out the bondwoman. Walk in the grace of our Lord every day. Amen. Yeah. Enjoy the journey. Hallelujah. Yeah. Keep your eyes on the Lord.
Yeah. Hallelujah.
Because the greatest commandment of all is that we love God and we love others.
Yes.
Amen. And God is very lovable.
Yeah. Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.